الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In a previous class we're discussing the issue of شروط البيع. شروط البيع, شروط البيع, the conditions of buying and selling, the conditions of buying and selling. And we have seen that the conditions in this chapter are two types, شروط شرعية وشروط جعلية. There are legislative conditions and there are conditions that the people involved in the contract, the buyer and the seller, will set for the best interest of both of them or one of them. Of both of them or one of them. شروط شرعية وشروط جعلية. We have seen that the people of knowledge, whenever they refer to الشروط الشرعية, the legislative conditions, they say شروط البيع. شروط البيع, the conditions of buying and selling. And what they mean here, شروط صحة البيع, the conditions for the contract of buying and selling to be considered valid legislatively. To be considered valid legislatively. And all of these conditions must be present in every contract for the contract to be considered valid in the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. As for الشروط الجعلية, then the people of knowledge, they refer to them as الشروط في البيع. الشروط في البيع, the conditions within the contract. And these are conditions that one of the parties involved in the contract will set for themselves or for both of them in their best interest. And we had begun discussing in our previous class شروط البيع, the conditions of buying and selling. And again, these are the conditions, the legislative conditions, that must be present in every contract for that contract to be valid and to be acceptable in the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. If one or more of them is not established properly, then the contract is considered invalid. Then the contract is considered invalid, thus meaning that it's not allowed and not permissible. And the transaction is not allowed. And the transaction is not valid nor allowed. So we've seen that there are seven conditions. The first one was التراضي بين الطرفين, that there must be a mutual agreement between both parties. And the second condition was أن يكون العاقد جائزة التصرف. And the second one is that the one who's making the contract, the buyer or the seller, he must be considered lawful and allowed to deal in contracts. He must be considered lawful and allowed, permissible to make contracts and dealings. And again, each one of these, they will come inshallah in detail. The third condition was أن تكون العين المبيعة مباحة النفع من غير حاجة. تكون العين المبيعة مباحة النفع من غير حاجة. And the third one is that the item that is for sale must be something that is allowed to benefit from. It's something that is lawful and allowed to benefit from without any special need. Yani that it's lawful and allowed to benefit from in every circumstance. And the fourth condition, أن يكون المبيع ملكا للبائع أو مأذونا له فيه وقت العقد. And the fourth condition is that the item for sale must be in the ownership, complete ownership of the seller, or he must be allowed to sell it and to deal with it at the time of the contract. The fourth one is that the item for sale must be in the complete ownership of the seller, or he must have the permission from the original owner to sell it at the time of the contract. Number five, al-qudratu ala taslimihi. The person, he must have the full ability to deliver the item, meaning to hand it over. He must have the full ability to deliver the item for sale, meaning to hand it over, to be able to hand it over. The sixth condition, أن يكون المعقود عليه معلوما من كل من العقدين برؤيته ومشاهدته عند العقد أو بوصفه وصفا يميزه عن غيره. And the sixth condition is that the item that's for sale must be known by both parties, the buyer and the seller. It must be known by both parties, meaning they must see it and must witness it at the time of the contract, or it must be described to them in a manner that distinguishes it from something else. If it's not seen and present, then it must be described in a manner that would remove any ambiguities and remove any confusion from the item, confusing it with another item. And the seventh condition, أن يكون الثمن معلوما بتحديد سعر المبيع ومعرفة قيمتها. That the cost that must be known by setting the price of the item properly, and it must be known the value of that item, and the value of that item must be known. In our previous class, we have begun discussing the first condition, which was التراضي بين الطرفين. التراضي بين الطرفين. This means a mutual agreement between both parties. A mutual agreement between both parties. Both parties, that means in the Arabic language, some vocabulary that we learned. That means البائع والمشتري. البائع والمشتري. Now the بائع and the مشتري. The seller and the buyer. The seller and the buyer. And the people of knowledge, they mention, along with the fact that this is a condition, also this is from the great principles or fundamentals of buying and selling. From the great fundamentals of this chapter is that إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ عَنْ تَرَاضٍ, which has come in the narration that we discussed in the previous class. إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ عَنْ تَرَاضٍ, that buying and selling will only occur by way of mutual consent or mutual agreement. And this is a principle in the legislation that is derived directly from a text that states just that. إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ عَنْ تَرَاضٍ, hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned about this, rahimahullah, al-aslu fil uqudi rida al-tarafain. Al-aslu fil uqudi rida al-tarafain. That the fundamental principle with regards to all contracts between people is that both parties must give mutual consent and agreement. That both parties must give mutual consent and agreement. And from here we see that the issue of al-taravi being a condition, the reality of al-taravi bayn al-tarafain, the reality of both parties giving mutual consent and agreement, it has two pillars. Al-ilmu wa-ikhtiyar. Al-ilmu wa-ikhtiyar. Al-ilmu wa-ikhtiyar. That means they both must have knowledge of the contract and the details of that, and likewise they must choose that willfully. They must choose that and make that choice to move upon that willfully, without any force or coercion. Because if a person, he were to not know the reality of something, then how could he truly be pleased and give mutual consent? Or if he's forced out of his will, then he's definitely not giving mutual consent. So these are the two pillars for this condition to be established. Rukna al-taravi, al-ilmu wal-ikhtiyar. Al-ilmu wal-ikhtiyar. From the evidences of this, the hadith that had preceded, but before that, in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in Surah An-Nisa, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً عَنْ تَرَاضٍ مِنْكُمْ. O you who believe, do not eat up your property among yourselves unjustly, except that it may be a trade amongst you by mutual consent. Except whenever it is a trade amongst you by mutual consent. So to take the wealth of others unlawfully, this is injustice and this is oppression and not allowed. But as for trade and commerce between two parties that is based upon this condition here, that is based upon the condition of mutual consent and mutual agreement, then the origin with regards to this is that it's unlawful and it's not considered eating each other's wealth or taking each other's wealth unlawfully and injustice. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the effects of the impact of this condition, it occurs on the contract itself and likewise on that which the contract is based upon. And that which the contract is based upon. Any of that, the impact will occur on the contract itself. So whatever the two parties agree upon and they come to a mutual consent with regards to, then the contract is established and is binding. And is binding. So long as they did not agree or mutually consent upon something that is in opposition to the legislation. So if their agreement in their contract, is upon something that's lawful in the legislation, then upon that consent and upon that agreement, the contract becomes binding. The contract becomes binding. And also that which is based upon that mutual consent. For example, if they, in their contract, have mutual consent that there will be a delayed payment, and that delayed payment is known, and the time is set, and the likes like this, then, and then they have a mutual agreement upon that, then not only is the contract binding upon them, likewise those conditions that are set in that contract as well, they're binding. As well, they're binding. So if they agreed upon this, and they have mutual consent for the price of an item, then now it becomes binding. And if one of them set in the contract a condition that there will be a delayed payment, and the payment is known, and the time for the payment is known, and they have mutual consent upon that at the time of the transaction, then that becomes binding. So it will not be allowed later for the person, for example, if they agreed for the purchaser to pay a month later, it will not be allowed within that month for the seller to come and force him or to ask for him to pay before the time, because they already had a mutual agreement. And once they have that agreement, then the contract becomes binding. And that which comes about from these conditions likewise, and this agreement also is binding. And this is also from the evidences of the permissibility of a shurut al-ja'liyyah, the fact that it's lawful for the buyer or the seller to set a specific condition in his best interest, so long as it's not in opposition to the legislation. And these details, inshallah, they will come as we study the narrations. So this is some of the details mentioned with regards to this. So the first condition is التراضي بين الطرفين. There must be a mutual consent between both parties. But for this condition, there are conditions. And the first one is that they will have mutual consent upon something that's lawful, not upon something that's in opposition or in contradiction to the legislation. Meaning, for example, they cannot have mutual consent upon something that is haram. They cannot have mutual consent, for example, upon selling alcohol or selling pork, for example. You couldn't say that, oh, it's lawful and allowed for me because we both have mutual consent. We both pleased and accept the contract. So I'm buying and he's selling and we agree to it and we all are in accordance. So therefore, the contract is permissible. La, that's not correct, and that's the wrong understanding. So the condition of التراضي بين الطرفين, that both parties, they must have mutual consent and agreement. That's within the limits of the legislation. That's number one. Number two is that which they agree upon and that which they come to mutual consent with regards to, it must not be in opposition to the intent from the contract. They must not agree upon something that's in opposition to the contract. يعني المقصود الأعظم من البيع التملك. The greatest intent and aim in buying and selling is to receive ownership. That there will be an exchange of ownership. This is the greatest intent from the contract of buying and selling. Why do people buy and sell? Because they want to obtain ownership over the thing that they're buying or selling. They want to have ownership. They want that to come into their possession. They want to obtain that thing and have complete ownership over it. So if somebody, for example, said, I'll sell you this pen with the condition that you won't write with it. This is a condition that's invalidating the whole purpose. The whole purpose from purchasing a pen is to write with. So now you're prohibiting him from doing what he likes with the pen and this particular item. This is what it's made for. So now you have invalidated the whole purpose from the contract. The whole purpose from the contract has been negated. He can't even do what he wants with the pen. He can't even write with it. So what's the purpose of him having the pen? Or saying, I'll sell you this pen, but you can't own it. Like this. So this is in contradiction to the whole intent from the contract in the first place. So it's as if the contract's not even present. So this is not allowed. Even if they agreed, this is not going to be considered proper. So after this, we take the next condition. The second condition is أن يكون العقد جائز التصرف. That the one who is involved in the contract, and referring to the buyer and the seller, he must be jaiz at-tasarruf, meaning he must be considered legislatively lawful to buy and sell and to get involved in contracts. What the people of knowledge, they mean by this jaiz at-tasarruf, meaning that the buyer or the seller, he has to have four characteristics. And the first one, an yakuna hurran, baligan, aqilan, rashidan, that he will be a free man, and that he will be of the age of puberty, and he will have a sound mind, and he will be rashid. Rashid, meaning having rushd, meaning that he is known to be able to deal with money properly, and to handle money in a sensible manner, So these conditions, they must be present. Then this is the condition. And يكون العاقد جائزة التصرف, that the one who is involved in the contract, he's making the transaction, either the بائع or the مشتري, the buyer or the seller or the buyer, both of them have to be جائز التصرف. They have to be legislatively lawful to buy and sell. So this consists of four traits. Al-hurriya, he must be a free man. And number two, al-bulugh, he must reach the age of puberty. And the third one, al-aqil, he must have a sound mind. And number four, al-rushd. Al-rushd, meaning yani husn at-tasarruf fi al-mal. That a person, he's able to deal with money in a sensible and correct manner. So with regards to the first trait, it has been collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, the trait of hurriya, he must be a free man. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man ba'a abdan walahu malun famaluhu lilba'i' illa an yashtaritahu al-mubta'. Whoever sells a slave that has wealth, then his wealth is for the seller, unless the buyer sets the condition. So with regards to a slave himself is his property. His property is owned, and that which he owns is owned. So he does not have anything, any ownership over anything. So he's not allowed to buy or to sell for this reason. Al-bulugh, the second trait, al-bulugh, he must reach the age of puberty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, وَابْتَلُوا الْيَتَامَ حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُوا النِّكَاحِ فَإِنْ أَنَسْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا فَدَفَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ. And try the orphans as regards to their intelligence, yani their sensible ability to be able to deal with the worldly affair, money and the likes. Try them as regards their intelligence until they reach the age of marriage. If then you find sound judgment in them, release their property to them. And this is in reference to the orphan, that has wealth. So the one who has guardianship over the orphan, he will not allow the orphan to have his wealth until he reaches the age of puberty. And along with that, he has rushd. He has the sound mind and intelligence, and he's able to deal with money in a sensible manner. So this is the condition. Here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in this verse, وَبَتُوا الْيَتَامَ حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُوا النِّكَاحِ, that you should try or test the orphans until they reach the age of marriage. And he's referring to the age of puberty. فَإِنْ آنَسْتُم مِّنْهُمْ رُشْدًا فَدَفَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالُهُمْ. So if you find from them, after they reach the age of puberty, if you find from them rushd, that they are of sound intelligence and they're able to deal with wealth in a sensible manner without wasting it or spending it on things that are haram and impermissible, so on and so forth, then you'll give them their money. Then the guardian will allow them to have their wealth to do as they like with it. But if a person were to find out that they were not rashid, then he will not be given his wealth, even if he was baligh, even if he was the age of purity. These issues, they will come. So in this verse, before the guardian, he will give the orphan the wealth that belongs to him, that the guardian is in charge of, on behalf of him. Allah, he said two conditions. The first one is that they reach the age of puberty. And this is our discussion here. And the second one is that they, along with that, they have rushd. Meaning husn at-tasarruf al-amwal, meaning that they have sensible reasoning in dealing with wealth, So the first condition here is clear. This is what we're discussing, the first description, al-bulugh. al-bulugh. And then al-aql, huwa diddu al-junun. Al-aql, huwa diddu al-junun. So the sound mind, and this is contrary or the opposite of insanity. And there's a consensus by the people of knowledge that the one who is insane, it's not allowed for him to buy and sell. It's not allowed for him to get involved in contracts because he has no intention and he has no sanity. And there's a consensus with regards to this. And the fourth description, arushd, arushdu, arushd, وهو حسنو التصرفي في المال. And that is having the proper intelligence and reasoning and dealing with wealth, arushd. That's what is intended in the verse. فَإِنْ آنَسْتُم مِّنْهُمْ رُشْدًا فَإِنْ آنَسْتُم مِّنْهُمْ رُشْدًا If you find from them that they have the sensible, the intelligence and the reasonable mind, and if they have the intelligence and the sound mind to deal with wealth reasonably in the proper manner, then you give them their wealth. If not, then you not give them their wealth. Then you not give them their wealth. Shaykh Al-Faymin rahimahullah and his sharh al-mumti' he mentioned here, al-Rashid huwa al-ladhi yuhsinu at-tasarruf fi malihi bihaythu la yabdhuluhu fi shay'in muharram wala fi shay'in la fa'idata minhu. The one who's considered Rashid, and the one who's considered Rashid in this issue here, the issue of buying and selling, the one who's considered Rashid, and he having the sound mind and the ability to deal with wealth in a reasonable and good manner, he's the one who deals with his wealth in a manner where he does not spend it. He does not spend it on things that are forbidden and impermissible, and nor does he spend it on things that have no benefit. And he would not just simply waste money, and the avenues of that are unlawful in the first place, and nor would he waste money on things that have no value and no benefit. And the people of knowledge, they mention al-Rashid ziddu al-Safi. Ziddu al-Safi. The Rashid in the chapter of buying and selling is the opposite of al-Safi. Al-Safi. So there is safi, yani linguistically it means a fool. It means a fool. But what it means in the chapter of buying and selling is man kana sayya tasarruf fi al-mal. The one who he deals bad. He has bad dealings with man, with wealth. He has bad dealings with wealth. He doesn't spend or use wealth in a reasonable and a sensible, logical manner. Rather, he deals with the wealth like a fool, and he spends it on that which has no benefit or the likes, or on things that are not lawful, so on and so forth. So the people of knowledge, they say, based upon this, فَلَا يَسُحُ تَصَرُّفُ صَبِيًا وَلَا سَفِي. That the contract and the dealings, the buying and selling of a child is not valid, nor of a safi. And he's somebody who is known to not be able to buy and trade in a reasonable manner. So the people of Nara, as they mentioned, that the Sabi is two aspects. There's two types of the Sabi, the child. The Sabi, it means a child. There's the Sabi غير مميز, and there's the Sabi مميز. Sabi غير مميز, and this is the Sabi, this is the child, من الولادة إلى التمييز, إلى سن التمييز. The child from the time of birth, all the way till he reaches the age of distinguishment, he's called Sabi غير مميز. غير مميز. This one is not allowed for him to buy and sell. The majority of the scholars, Jumhur Ulama, they consider the buying and selling of a child before the age of distinguishment to be invalid and not correct. It's not allowed. It's not allowed. And if you were to buy and sell, it's not correct nor proper, even if the guardian allowed that or approved of it. The majority of the scholars, they find this to be true. And then the second aspect of the child is a sabi and mumayyiz, and he is the child that is considered a child at the age of distinguishment, yani before the age of puberty. So this is roughly around the age of 7, but it's according to the individual child. Whenever he is able to distinguish that which is good and that which is bad, that which is beneficial and that which is harmful, but he has not yet reached the age of puberty, this one is called Sabiyu Mumayyiz. This one is called a child who is at the age of distinguishment. And generally, it's at the age of 7, but not a condition. Maybe slightly before, even possibly after that by a little. And whenever the child reaches the age where he's able to determine right and wrong, and that which is good and bad, and that which is beneficial and harmful, and that which is truth and that which is lying, so on and so forth, he's at the age of distinguishment, although he hasn't reached the age of purity. The majority of the people of knowledge, they find that it's valid for this child here to buy and sell with the permission of the guardian. With the permission of the guardian. So if there was a child who was at the age of Tamiz and he went in the store and purchased something with the permission of the guardian, then the contract would be valid legislatively. Then the contract would be valid legislatively. So this is also found in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, وَبَتُرُوا يَتَامَ حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُوا النِّكَاحِ فَإِنْ آنَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا فَدَفَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ. And try the orphans until they reach the age of marriage, and until they reach the age of puberty. And if you find from them rushdan, right guidance with regards to dealing with wealth reasonably, then you hand over their wealth to them. Then you hand over their wealth to them. So in order to try the orphan until they reach the age of puberty, then meaning that they will be tried before the age of puberty. And that is only at the age of tamiz. So the child who is mumayyiz is included in the verse of being tried. So how do you try the child to see if he is able to deal with wealth property? By giving him a little bit of money and seeing what he does with it. Tell him to go buy this or to buy that and see how he handles his business. See how he handles his business. Like this. So he'll be tried like that. He'll be tested on how he deals. On how he deals. In order to do this, as Allah He ordered in this verse, then حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُوا النِّكَاحِ حَتَّى إِذَا, you try them and test them, حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُوا النِّكَاحِ, until whenever they reach the age of puberty. Then if you see from them now that they have reasonable right guidance in dealing with their wealth, then you hand over their wealth to them. Then you hand over their wealth to them. So the sabi, his wealth is not given to him. If he has wealth, if he has money, and he's an orphan, for example, or somebody has guardianship over a child, if he reaches the age of puberty, it will be looked to his situation. If he is Rashid, then his wealth will be handed to him, and he will be given complete authority over his own money, and he will do as he likes. And if he reaches the age of puberty, but he's not Rashid, then the money will still remain in the hands of the guardian, So he will go from being Sabi to being Safi. He went from being Sabi to being Safi, because he was Sabi, so we don't give him his wealth because he didn't reach the age of puberty. But if he reaches the age of puberty and he is not, and he doesn't handle wealth properly in a reasonable manner, then now he's considered Safi, although he's Baligh. So likewise, the money will remain in the hands of the guardian until he reaches Rushd. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُوا النِّكَاحِ يعني فَإِنْ أَنَسْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا فَدِفَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ. This is all from the benefits of this noble verse. And this is from the amazing affairs of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all of the rulings and the details of those rulings that have come in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, encompassing the life of the human being in this life and in the hereafter. So the Safi, if he has wealth, it will not be given to him. And likewise, if a person, he reached the age of puberty and then it's noticed that he has rushd, and then later on he became Safi, then likewise his wealth will, he will begin, again be forbidden, yani from dealing with his wealth. Because the condition here, أن يكون العاقد جائز التصرف, that the person who's doing the dealings, he's making the business, he's buying and selling, he's involved in these contracts, he must be جائز التصرف. He must be someone who is legislatively lawful and permissible to get involved in the likes of these transactions and do these dealings. And here in our discussion, there the individual who is جائز التصرف, he has four traits. That he's a free person, and that he's at the age of puberty, he has a sound mind, and also along with that, he has the reasonable ability to deal with wealth properly, with the intelligence, and to deal with wealth in a reasonable manner, and without just wasting the money, buying $200 in candy, for example. You give him money and he go buys $200 in candy, or he buys a $400 candy bar. Candy bar costs $400. It doesn't really cost $400, but somebody seen that he's not Rashid and said, how much is this $400? For example, like this. Or he goes and buys all of these, and he $400 in Legos, for example. And he's a little kid, yani, and so on and so forth, just blowing the money, wasting the money without any reasonable effort to spend the money in the best interest of himself. So here this condition is set to protect the wealth, to protect the wealth of the people, to protect the wealth of the people, of the people. So this is from the conditions of al-bay', conditions, the conditions for the validity, and for the contract to be considered valid. The third condition, and yakuna al-mabi'u malin, and yakuna al-mabi'u malin, that the item that's being sold, it must be mal. It must be mal. We have discussed this word previously, and we have seen that the word mal in the Arabic language and in the tongue of the fuqaha specifically, it has a vast meaning, and it's not simply dollars or cash. It's not simply dollars or cash. Rather, there's a specific intent here. There's a specific intent here. What is meant by an yakuna al-mabi'u malin, the condition for the contract to be valid, that the item for sale, it must be mal. The people of knowledge, they say, أن تكون في المبيع منفعة مباحة مطلقا في جميع الأحوال. That the item for sale, it must have a permissible benefit in the absolute sense. It's permissible all the time. It's permissible all the time. Or they will say, أن تكون العين يعني العين المبيعة مباحة النفع من غير حاجة. مباحة النفع من غير حاجة. أن تكون العين المبيعة مباحة النفع بغير حاجة, that the item that's for sale must be allowed to benefit from without need, without a specific need. Any meaning that it's allowed to benefit from all the time, not only because of a need or a certain situation. Because there's some things that are initially not allowed to benefit from, but in certain circumstances it will be allowed to benefit from that thing. It would have a permissible benefit. We'll discuss this inshaAllah. So again, the condition to kuna al-ain al-mabi'ah, yani the item, mubahat al-naf' min ghayri haja, that the item that's for sale, it must have a lawful benefit, a permissible benefit, that's permissible and lawful without a special need or any in certain circumstances, meaning it's permissible and the benefit is permissible to benefit from it in all circumstances and every time. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this here is including three conditions that's mentioned here in this one condition. There are three affairs, and the first one, and yakuna fihi an-naf', and yakuna fi yani fil mal an-naf', that the wealth, it must have benefit. So it's not allowed to sell something that has no benefit. So the people of knowledge, they make the example hasharat, bugs, insects. It's not allowed to sell insects. Like some insects, they have absolutely no use. And if you get it, it's of no value whatsoever. No doubt, maybe, for example, fishermen might purchase some type of insects and benefit from them. So that's not included. But this is the example that the people of knowledge, they make. Like selling insects. And it's to sell something that has no benefit whatsoever. If you have it, you don't have it, you will not benefit from it. If you obtain it, if you own it, you cannot benefit from it. It has no good for you whatsoever. This one is not allowed to sell it, because we're forbidden from wasting money. And in buying that which has no benefit whatsoever is in reality wasting money. وَنَهَا النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَنْ إِضَاعَةِ الْمَالِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade wasting money. So buying something that has absolutely no benefit is wasting money, and therefore it's not allowed. And if somebody did that, the contract is invalid and not considered legislatively correct. Also here in this condition, that it should be wealth, any in this understanding, and yakuna an-naf'u mubahan, and that the thing, the benefit of that thing, first it has to have a benefit. And if any of the item that's for sale must have some type of benefit, and that benefit, it must be lawful. It must be permissible. It must be lawful. It must be permissible. And this is to exclude a type of benefit, an-naf' al-muharram. An-naf' al-muharram. If there was a benefit in it, but it's haram. For example, selling alcohol. Maybe a person, he'll benefit from the alcohol, or selling pork. Maybe he'll benefit from the pork. But it's not lawful to benefit from alcohol, nor is it lawful to benefit from pork. Maybe he'll cook it and he will enjoy it. Waliyadu billah. Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hadha wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. Maybe he'll buy it and he'll enjoy it. So he's benefiting from it in this manner, in the worldly affair. but that enjoyment and that benefit that he is taking is not lawful. It's not lawful. You understand that? Likewise, for example, selling musical instruments. Selling musical instruments. Maybe he'll take some benefit from that. Maybe he'll buy that and take some benefit from that. It's not lawful likewise, because musical instruments are not lawful to benefit from. It's not lawful to benefit from musical instruments. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ So the item that's for sale, it must be something that's useful and beneficial, and that beneficial and the benefit in it and the usefulness in it, it must be lawful. It must be lawful. It must be lawful. So if a person who is selling alcohol, then that contract is invalid. And it's not lawful. And it's not lawful. It's not correct. عَقْدٌ بَاطِلٌ if you're selling marijuana, for example, marijuana is not lawful, right? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam naha an bayi al khamr wal mayta wa al khinzir wa asnam. In the hadith of Jabir, it's going to come in the book, inshallah, that we'll study, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forbade selling khamr, which many times originally or initially is translated as alcohol, wal mayta, the flesh of the dead animals. That were not slaughtered properly, or the animals that you know that is not allowed to eat in the first place. Wal khinzir, and the swine, the pork. Wa al asnam, and likewise idols. These things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically forbade selling them. It's not lawful to sell them. And this is because the benefit that they have is not lawful. It's not lawful. It's not lawful to benefit from alcohol. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Al-khamr ma khamara al-aql," that al-khamr is that which intoxicates the mind. So therefore, khamr is more inclusive than just alcohol. Rather, kullu muskirin haram, kullu muskirin haram. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Every intoxicant is haram. So whether you drink it, or you snort it, or you swallow it, or you inject it." Or you inhale it, if it's an intoxicant, it's haram. It's haram. سَبَقَ مُحَمَدٌ الْبَاذِقِ. We know the narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, whenever that man, he came from Yemen asking about baadhiq, this new drink that was not known in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, سَبَقَ مُحَمَدٌ الْبَاذِقِ. And that Muhammad preceded al-baadhiq. الْخَمْرُ مَا خَامَرَ الْعَقْلِ. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that khamr is anything that intoxicates the mind. Anything that intoxicates the mind. So those brothers who claim that they can smoke weed because it's medical weed now, medical marijuana, for example, medical THC, and they have a card, all of this is falsehood and not allowed. وَسَبَقَ مُحَمَدٌ الْحَشِيشِ وَمَرَوَانَ. Muhammad, he preceded all of that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Cocaine and heroin, all of these things, oxycodone and the likes like this, these drugs that these people use, even if they're pharmaceuticals or even if they're considered lawful in the man-made laws of the land, it's not lawful. Or even if, for example, it's permissible, according to the laws in the lands that we live in, to sell alcohol, it's not lawful for a Muslim. And if he did that, the contract is invalid and not considered. Rather, he's sinning in a great manner. Rather, he's sinning in a great manner. So man-made laws do not override the rule of Allah. And the people, they will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will take them to account. So the point is that it must be, and يكون النفع مباحا. It must be beneficial and useful, the item for sale, and that benefit must be lawful and permissible. Also, أن تكون الرباحة بلا حاجة. أن تكون الرباحة بلا حاجة. That the permissibility, it must be without any specific need. Without any specific need. And meaning that it must be permissible all the time. Not something that's only permissible in times of need. The permissibility of the item that's being sold, it must be permissible to use it at all times. Not only in special times or specific circumstances. For example, like a dog. The dog, the origin is that it's not allowed to own it. The origin is that the dog is not allowed to own it. It's not allowed to own a dog. This is haram and not allowed. And there's a great threat for a decrease in the reward for the one who owns a dog. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. We discussed maybe some of these narrations in greater detail, but just now to get a picture and idea and the foundation with regards to these conditions and the general rulings and fundamentals of buying and selling. It's not allowed to own a dog, except in circumstances, and that is if it's for farming, or for guarding animals, or for guarding the house. Any kalbu meshi, or for hunting, for farming, or for hunting or for guarding. Farming or hunting or for guarding. So that's for people to have dogs because they love dogs. They like to look at dogs and the likes like this. And they think that this is an adornment for their house. This is all not allowed. This is all not allowed. And there are great narrations with regards to this. And the Prophet, he forbade the price of the dog. And he mentioned the thamn al-kalb khabith, that the price of the dog is khabith, is lowly. Wa naha an thamn al-kalb. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet, he forbade the price of the dog. And many narrations. This is the example here that we're discussing. And tukuna aribahatu min ghayri haja. That the permissibility of the item being sold will not be for a certain need. Rather, it's an absolute permissibility at all times. We understand the point. We understand the point with the example. Because it's only allowed to own a dog. It's only allowed to own a dog if you're a hunter and you want to hunt with it. Meaning the dog is trained. It's a trained hunting dog. Or it's a trained farm dog. Or it's a trained guard dog. Meaning it's a kalbun mu'allam. It's a trained dog. It knows how to hunt. It knows how to guard. It knows how to check. It knows how to round up animals on the farm and the likes like this. It knows how to round up the cattle and the likes like this. These dogs here, it's allowed to own them. It's allowed to own them. As for selling them, it's not allowed. So some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned this issue here. And because it's allowed to own the dog, but only in certain circumstances. So therefore, it's not allowed to sell it. It's not allowed to sell it. You can't sell the dog because originally the dog is not lawful in the first place. Not allowed to sell it. And then if it's only allowed to have it in certain circumstances, then it's not allowed to sell it. Also. So this is the example that they mentioned with regards to this. So from here we see that the items for sale, with regards to their usefulness or the benefit that they have, are in different categories. So are there things that one he will sell or buy that has a permissible benefit? Has an absolute permissible benefit. It's allowed to use all the time in every circumstance. This one is lawful. This is what we're discussing. Like the lawful clothing and vehicles and the likes, food that is lawful. It's allowed. These things have a permissible benefit that's permissible in an absolute manner. You can sell them as you like, so long as the items are themselves lawful, like clothing and garments and pants and shirts, so on and so forth, or cars or desks or tables or paper. All of these things are lawful to benefit from without any condition. So to buy and sell them is lawful. So these items that is allowed and permissible to use and to benefit from without any restrictions, this is what we're discussing in that chapter of buying and selling. This is lawful to benefit from and to sell and to buy and to sell. فَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعِ. This is what we have been discussing. Allah has made buying and selling to be lawful and to be permissible. As for that which has a benefit or usefulness that is haram and not allowed, an impermissible benefit, then it's not allowed to buy them. And it's not allowed to sell them. And the contract is not valid. And the contract is not valid. From the evidence of that, the hadith that we just mentioned from Jabir, that the Prophet ﷺ, he forbade selling the khamr and the khinzir and the maita and the asnam. And the asnam. Likewise in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا حَرَّمَ عَلَى قَوْمٍ أَكْلَ شَيْءٍ حَرَّمَ عَلَيْهِمْ ثَمَنَهُ. This is in Sunan Abi Dawood, that indeed Allah, if He forbids, if He prohibits a people from eating a particular item, then also He has forbidden them from its price. And another wording of this narration by Al-Imam Ahmed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا حَرَّمَ عَلَى قَوْمٍ شَيْئًا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْهِمْ ثَمَنَهُ. That if Allah, He forbids a people from something, then He also forbids them from its price. So things that are forbidden and not allowed, that are forbidden and not allowed to use, and likewise the price of them is forbidden and not allowed. It's forbidden and not allowed. So if there is something that is permissible, it has a permissible usage and a haram usage. And it could be used for something permissible and it could be used for something haram. What's the ruling of buying and selling this one? And either if there's an item, for example, that could be used for that which is lawful, or it could be used in that which is unlawful. It could be used either way. What's the ruling with regards to this one? The people of knowledge, they mentioned the origin with regards to buying and selling these affairs. Here is that it's lawful, because the fundamental principle in buying and selling, as we have seen, is that it is permissible. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he mentioned a benefit with regards to this. He says, مَا أُبِيحَ ma'ubiha al-intifa'u bihi or biwajhin duna wajhin kal-humur wa nahwiha fa'innahu yajuzu bay'uha limanfa'atih dhahr al-mubaha la limanfa'atih lahm al-muharram. The items that are lawful to benefit from one aspect and impermissible in another aspect, like donkeys, which is permissible to use the donkey for carrying on its back or for riding, but it's not permissible to use the donkey for eating. And it's not permissible to slaughter it and to eat it because it's not allowed. The Prophet ﷺ forbade that. So he said the origin here is that these things are lawful. These things are lawful to sell and it is permissible. But the people of knowledge, they'll mention details here going back to looking at the one buying it and the one selling it. For example, a razor blade. Or for example, a phone. A phone, you can use it for good or you can use it for evil. You can use it for that which is lawful and permissible, even to worship Allah by seeking knowledge, for example. Or calling, or teaching, or studying, and learning, and so on and so forth. So many useful things you can use the phone for, and the internet on the phone. Or you can use it for haram, wa'iyadhu billah. So buying it, or the one who's buying it, is it lawful or unlawful? This goes back to his intention. If he's buying it with the intention to use it for the lawful means, alhamdulillah, it's lawful for him. But if he's purchasing it in order to use it in a haram manner that's unlawful, then it's not lawful for him. Likewise, razor blades. A razor blade, a man, he could use it to shave the pubic hair, for example. And in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, another man, he could use it to shave his face. So we're going to go back to the intention. We wouldn't say, oh, you can't sell razor blades because maybe somebody will use it to shave their face and shaving your face is not allowed. No, the origin is that these things are lawful. As for the one purchasing it, then it goes back to his intention. Is it lawful for him or not? And with regards to the seller, then the origin of that is that it's lawful for him. So long as he does not know or he does not think that most probably it's going to be used in haram. He does not think most probably that it's going to be used in haram, is lawful for him. For example, it's lawful for him to sell a razor blade. But if somebody came in, for example, and he said, you know, I need the best razor blade that you have, my face is sensitive. For example, now he knows he's going to use the razor blade in something that is unlawful. So now it will not be lawful for him to sell it. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.